without sin. What a concept, right? That won't happen here. We're still in this body, and until this body is raised and the flesh is done away with, it'll always be a fight for us. But in John 8, 2 through 7, it says, "Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?' This they said, they tested him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first.'" And so when I read this, several times when I read it, the one thing that always stood out to me, and I really didn't quite understand, and there's a lot of things that we can learn from this scripture. For one, adultery was wrong, right? A lot of people don't think that adultery is wrong today, right? Adultery adultery is the breaking of a marriage covenant, right? A covenant when you go out and you break that agreement between the two of you and God. That's what adultery is. But there's a lot of things we can learn from this. But I thought, why did Jesus have a problem with this, right? Didn't the law say that when someone was found in this, that they were to be stoned? Didn't the law say this? It did. So I was like, I always looked at this verse and I thought, well, it's harsh, but it was in the law. It was harsh, but it was in the law. So why did Jesus have a problem with this? It always kind of threw me a little bit, but I just took it for what it was. But as I mature and as I read more, I understand Jesus is trying to show them something here, right? And so when you read this, it seems like to me that the biggest thing that stands out was Jesus was saying, "He who is sinless among you, throw the first stone," right? That's what stands out to me in this verse. The law said to stone her, so why was Jesus saying the sinless was the only one who could cast a stone? Obviously, they weren't all sinless. The law said to stone them, so why did he bring this into play? And I thought, it just doesn't really make sense to me. But Galatians 5:14 says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word." Now, when he says all the law, he's talking about even what was said here, right? That when a woman was found in adultery, that he was to be brought before the elders and they were to stone her until she was dead. Put her out and stone her, right? This was in the law. But Galatians says that including that statement, all of the law is summed up in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, again, Jesus is trying to show them something. So, if you were caught in the act of adultery, right, in the throes of passion, you didn't plan on it, it just happened. We're talking about adultery here, but when you came to your senses and you were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this happened, what would you want somebody to do for you? Right? A little understanding maybe? Obviously, anger is understandable, right? But just a little understanding that this could happen to anyone? Possibly the hint of forgiveness with a little time, something, I don't know. I didn't mean to throw my life away with this one act, okay? You see, that's what the law was trying to show Israel. The law was trying to show us something, not just how to punish sin. See, they looked at it as she did this, so let's punish her. But if it was turned around the other way, whatever reason, now we can take this out of adultery now, but whatever reason, if you were found guilty under the law of God, wouldn't you want some sort of understanding and forgiveness? right? A second chance to say, you know, look, I really didn't know that this was going to affect so many people. And like I said, I'm taking it out of adultery, just sin in general, right? It's like a virus. It's like a spilled water. It goes all over the place and touches things that you never knew was going to happen. When you do something wrong, when you do something selfish, it affects others. It doesn't just affect yourself, right? It's just when you're selfish and you take personal gain, it affects others. So the law was trying to show us something here, not just how to punish sin. So when Jesus said, when they told Jesus that this person was found in the act of adultery, we know for 100% proof positive they did wrong. He was trying to show them something. Right? That's what the law was doing, trying to show us something. This is why Jesus stooped in the dirt and did this, because He was trying to show them something. He could have just answered and said, that's what is written. But He didn't. Because you know why? They didn't understand the law. If they did, they would understand that what the law showed them was their self. What the law showed them was themselves. And so when Jesus stooped down in the dirt, they didn't understand the law. They acted like they did. When He stooped down in the dirt, He was trying to show them something. Luke 4:31-32. Then He went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at His teaching, for His word was with authority. One of the things that they always questioned Jesus about when He tried to show them anything is, who are you? Right? Who are you? And that's what people like to come against us with if we try to, God forbid, if we should try to talk to them about sin. And I don't know what's the best way to do stuff like that. I would guess that if they're not saved, then they don't understand what they're doing is a sin. They don't understand that. They don't understand it. So why would we tell them that they're sinning? They don't understand that. They don't understand that what they're doing is wrong, because Jesus said, unless I told you, came and told you, there would be no sin. Unless I come and told you, don't do this, then there would be no sin when you did this. And so in their life, it doesn't mean that they're absent from sin. It means that they don't know. But we come to them expecting them to know that they're sinning and that they're disappointing God. They're making God mad. We anticipate that they know this, and I think we approach it wrong. I don't know. I don't know what's the best answer, okay? But when Jesus taught, it was not like they taught. And when He taught, they were astonished, because they wanted to know where His authority came from. That's what they wanted to know. They were like, you teach different than us. You teach like you're actually the one telling us this stuff. Where do you get that authority? Right? What makes you right and me wrong? Where do you get that authority? So one of the things for sure that Jesus was trying to show them was where He got His authority. Where His authority came from. Excuse me. John 3, 1 through 2. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. We all know about John chapter 3. A ruler of the Jews. Now this guy Nicodemus, he wasn't just your average run-of-the-mill, you know, coming to the temple late Jew, right? He was a leader among the Jews. That means this guy knew what he was talking about, and he taught others. Verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, and the reason that he came by night is because people watched what he did. And if Nicodemus was wrong, he didn't want to lead other people wrong. So he came to Jesus by night because he said, I'm confused by this. And he said this statement, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He knew, but what Jesus was teaching was foreign to his ears. And he said, I got to understand this. He said, I either got to commit to you as Lord, or I got to turn away from you because you're going to lead me down the wrong path. He said, but what you're telling me, he said, I recognize the authority in what you're saying, but I don't understand it. And so here was the problem with the Jews, the Pharisees. Remember, because the Pharisees are the ones that brought this woman to Jesus. And they said, she's caught in the act of adultery, let's stone her. Okay, so it was the Pharisees who asked this question. And this was a man, also a Pharisee, a leader, Nicodemus, he came to him. And the problem was this. Here was the struggle. The Pharisees could not deny that God was with Jesus. This leader, he had been talking among other leaders, right? And they couldn't deny that God was with Jesus because of the miracles that he did. But they didn't like the way that Jesus rebuked the Pharisees or made them feel, as if they were the ones in need of the law. You see? That's how Jesus made them feel when he talked. It wasn't that he wasn't telling them things that they couldn't grasp. They could understand somewhat right from wrong, just like we can when we're reading Scripture, right? But he didn't like the way they made him feel, because it's like if me up here preaching and you're like, are you preaching to me? What do you know? You preaching to me? You got a problem with me? See, that's how Jesus made them feel when he talked. Do you know why? Because I am preaching to you. You're the one sitting here, aren't you? If I'm not preaching to you, who am I preaching to? Well, I got to include myself on that. I'm not Jesus. So I got to include myself on this. But what I'm saying is that the Pharisees thought, you're acting like we need the law. Of course you need the law. That's what Jesus was trying to show them, right? But they didn't understand that, so he had to go about it a different way. Now, in Deuteronomy 10, 1 through 2, at that time the Lord said to me, it was Moses, hew for yourself two tablets of stone like the first one, and come up to me on the mountain and make for yourself an ark of wood. And I'll write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. We never really talk about the fact that Moses broke the first of the Ten Commandments. Do you remember that? I mean, I think we remember it, but we forget about it, right? Let me say that again. Moses broke the first set of Ten Commandments. You see, every man needs God's law. Every man. We need to understand the way that the laws of the universe were written. We need to understand that gravity exists. We can't stand up on a mountain and say, I love God, and jump off and not expect the gravity is going to pull us down. We can't do this stuff. Right? Every man needs God's law. Every man. We need to know the order which he set up things. Because if we get out of order, we get out of sync even with our own bodies. The humans who don't care anything about God will tell you that if your body's out of sync and your electrolytes are all out of balance, nothing works. We can't get out of balance with God's law. Every man needs God's law. But he didn't give it to just any man. He gave it to the nation of Israel. So when those Pharisees says, you're acting like we need God's law. Guess what? They did. They forgot about that. How do you forget something like that? But they did. They did. They questioned where his authority was. They didn't like the fact that he was making them feel like that they were the ones the law was talking to. They didn't like that. And I don't know if anybody likes to think that we're in error, right? That we've done something or we thought we were in a place and we found out, you know what? I'm a coward. I'm a thief. I'm a loser. Whatever. I don't know. Wherever you find yourself. Nobody likes to see that. But the law was given to them so they could see that. And it was necessary that they could see that because they needed Jesus. That's what they were supposed to see. And when he was standing right there, they said, what gives you the right to say this? That's what they asked him when he taught all the time. Moses broke the first set of tablets. That was a prophecy of the very fact that the nation of Israel were going to break God's commandments, proving that they needed the law. But yet, when Jesus stood right before the Pharisees and they quoted law to him, they acted like that they weren't the ones that were in need of the law. The people that were in need of the law was the adulterous woman. The law wasn't to point out the adulterous woman. The law was to point out ourselves to ourselves in the sight of God. They didn't like that. They would rather use the law for punishment than to use the law for growth. That's what Jesus was trying to show them. But I'm going to show you why he was writing in the dirt. Now look, when I tell you this, when I show you this, you're going to see it. Do y'all know the answer? I tell you, show you this next verse, you're going to see it, and you're going to be like, how did I miss this? All this time, how did I miss this? Exodus 31:18. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Jesus was the manna that came from heaven. Jesus was the rock that the Israelites were following all through the desert. Jesus had always been with them. He had always been with them. This law that was written by the finger of God, when those people brought that adulterous woman to them, and he stooped down and he started to write in the dirt, you see, that was the finger of God. He was showing them, I wrote the law. I've always been there. I write the law, and yet you ask me, I wrote the law so you could see yourself, and yet you bring this woman to me and you can't even see yourself. I wrote the law. In John 8:56 through 58, what Jesus was trying to show them is what he always tried to show them, which they fully rejected. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews, that blew their mind, they said, wait a minute, you're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. What was he trying to show them? He was trying to show them that he was God. Who wrote the Ten Commandments and gave them to him? It was God. And so when he stooped down in that dirt, he started to write when they brought to him and said, what do you say about this law? He was trying to show them, just like when he said here, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He was trying to show them, I wrote that law that you read, that you break. I wrote it. He got down in that dirt, he stooped it. Stooped down and wrote in the dirt, and he stood up and he said, let who was without sin cast the first stone. That's what the law was trying to show them. That, yeah, adultery's wrong. But what was worse than adultery was acting like you didn't need to be disciplined by the word of, by the law of God. And so when he stooped down in the dirt, he was showing them, I am. You see, when he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and he saw it, what day was he talking about? He was talking about the day of visitation to the nation of Israel. He said, when he saw my day and he rejoiced in it. When did Abraham see his day? You know when Abraham went to Melchizedek? We talked about that last week when he went to Melchizedek and he had bread and he had wine. What greater way to show that the nation of Israel would be founded upon the sacrifice of Jesus who stood right before those people? He was the very God that led them through the nation, that led them through the wilderness. He was the very God that they that called them out of Egypt. He was the very God that Moses, he wrote with the hand of God, that he finger of God, that he wrote those Ten Commandments. And when he stooped down in the dirt, they missed it, just like they missed everything else. What an amazing picture. What an amazing picture. God was always trying to teach. Jesus is always trying to teach. I can stand up here and say all kinds of stuff, but unless you learn, I'm not doing anything. He's always trying to teach. And we can trust him. The Jews should have trusted him because he was with them that whole time. They trusted those Ten Commandments that came down from Mount Sinai when Abraham showed them to him. I mean, Moses, when he showed them to him, they trusted that. They trusted that. Why couldn't they trust Jesus? You know why they couldn't trust Jesus? Because they didn't see themselves. Jesus will never be able to help you unless you come to a place where you know that you need Him. They needed that law from God. It's what made them the nation of Israel. It's what made them the people of God. And they trusted in that law. And when He wrote with the finger down in the dirt, He was showing them, you can trust in Me. I'm the one that gave you the law that you trust in. I thought, wow, what an amazing picture. It just makes total sense why he did that. He told them multiple times that he was God. He says, I do not consider it robbery to be equal with God. When he forgave the sins, when he said, arise and take your bed and walk, and they said, only God can forgive sins. And he says, which is greater, to say your sins are forgiven or arise and take your bed and walk? He said, but so you may know that while on earth the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins, he said, I tell you, arise, take your bed and walk. He was always trying to show them where his authority come from. And his authority for the Jews came in the fact that he wrote them the law. That's what they trusted in. And he was saying, I wrote that. And I wrote that. Now on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up, he had to have some sort of authority. And he went back to David because they trusted in David. He went back to Joel because they trusted in Joel. They trusted in these prophets because these were the people that brought God's word to them. But when he built a case on Christ based on all those evidence in the past and all those things about the law and about the prophets, that all of these things stood on that Jesus raised, that God raised Jesus from the dead, when all of this stuff stood on this, they had the problem of switching between trusting the law and trusting Jesus. I can see that, right? I can see that. But all the evidence that we had, that we read, the scripture that we read, do we believe that this was wrote to us? Well, I tell you what, if it was just wrote to our neighbor, it does me no good. God took the time to sit down and write this to you with His own finger. Right? He told you that. This word is written by the Holy Spirit through the hands of men. God literally sat down and wrote this word. So just as the Jews trusted in the law for their righteousness, we trust in this word for our righteousness. And there's one difference. The law, the righteousness was found in Christ. We already trust Christ, right? We didn't have to make that transition from the law, but we did have to make the transition from the world. See, we trust in the world. We trust that if things are going well, everything's okay, right? If you got money in the bank and there's food on the table and it's cold outside and you got the fireplace going, you trust in those things, don't you? Because when those aren't there, you start to question what's going on. And that's what the Jews were doing. They trusted in the law until Christ came. And then when Christ showed them, you can trust in me, they should have moved forward. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And the Bible says, they asked him, what should we do if we've acted in such a way? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. The very person, because Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as Him, He will. The very person that wrote the Word of God, the very person that was behind the original law that was wrote on the tablets, the finger of God. Jesus didn't start His ministry until the Holy Spirit became a part of that and He stooped down in that dirt. Everything that God has ever done, we have that person living in us to show us the truth. Right? We don't need to see Jesus stoop down and write in the dirt. Why? We've already read about it. We trust in the man that stooped down and read in the dirt. And the reason wrote in the dirt, and the reason we trust that is because we trust in the fact that God is reaching out to us. God is trying to make Himself known to us. The Pharisees didn't see it. They walked away. And Jesus rightfully called them blind leading the blind. That's not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to see the truth. We're supposed to rejoice in the truth. But if we turn away from it, we'll be no better than they are. We'll be trusting in cold stone for our salvation when there's a living sacrifice right before us. The very God that wrote those things. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation? Victory in Jesus.